He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We've got a market that's going south right now. Southbound. Wasn't there a Allman Brothers song? Southbound. That's where the market's headed right now. Although the Dow is still hanging on by a thread to a 28-point gain. I see it going negative here pretty soon. Why? Because the NASDAQ now is down, 77 or 0.7%. After a pretty good day yesterday, boy, do I have a lot to talk about today. Woo, it's a stacked show, the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow down, it's still up, 22 right now, 27,309. In the meantime, over at the NASDAQ, we're down 77 right now to 10,890. We've got the S&P down 6 points right now to 3309. Go figure, the small caps are up today. The Russell 2000, which doesn't always trade in lockstep with the other indexes. It's really trailed the other indexes recently, but today it's the winner. It's up 0.3%, up 5 points. Crude oil taking it, no, it's up 14 cents right now, $39.94, hovering right around $40 per barrel. A couple of $20 bills will get you a barrel of oil today only. Gold down again. Where's that safety trade? Down $26 per ounce to $18.82. Maybe it got overheated. I'm still bullish on gold over the long haul. Silver down $1.07, $23.45. Weakness in the precious metals persists again today, especially silver. And we've got the 10-year about as sleepy as you can get. It's at 0.67% today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And after a pretty good day in the market yesterday, it looks like we are southbound today in the NASDAQ. It's down 78 points right now. The Dow is up 14 points, but looks like it's getting ready to go negative here. And the S&P continues to slide. It's now down about 10 points. And the Russell 2000 has just gone negative. Bitcoin down $30 per coin. And it's going to be another tough day for the precious metals and the precious metal stocks. They've been rather weak here recently after a huge run-up, just a huge run-up for a month or two. Well, we finished pretty good yesterday. We had a good day in the market yesterday. The S&P was up 1.1%. That was yesterday, though. The NASDAQ had a very good day yesterday. It was up 1.7%. The Dow was up 0.5%. One of the big laggards in tech land today is Tesla. It looks like their battery day was not energized enough. It kind of fell flat. And Tesla today, right now, is down $5 a share. No, $27 per share. It is kind of breaking a support level. It's breaking the $400 level. It's been as high as $502. You're in the midst of a 25% correction in Tesla. Tesla is down 6.5%. Still well above its 50-day moving average, however. That looks like its next big level of support. And it looks to me like it's headed towards that 50-day moving average in a hurry. We'll get to their battery day here in a moment. Well, they're kind of easing those lockdowns a bit in the UK. And President Trump over here reiterating that we will not lock down. Well, I guess we'll just have to see how bad it gets. So far, no signs of a big second wave here in the U.S. In Washington, Jerome Powell, Steve Mnuchin urge more spending. spend to help the economy recover from the pandemic. In other words, another stimulus package. We're already $3.5 trillion in the hole this year, just this fiscal year. I'm surprised gold really isn't doing better here recently. Maybe just some profit taking from the big run up here recently. You've got Jerome Powell heading back to Capitol Hill today to testify about the government's pandemic response. Europe had a good overnight session. London up 1.5% as they're easing. They're not going to go as hard on their shutdown as Boris Johnson originally indicated. Germany's up 1.3%. Very strong earnings out of Nike, a member of the Dow. That's probably the only reason the Dow's hanging on to an 11-point gain. That's lifting a couple of European stocks, Puma and Adidas. That's helping Europe. Spain revised its Q2 GDP contraction to 17.8%. And Eurozone services PMI fell and did not meet the forecast. Meanwhile, our manufacturing PMI, that's the Purchasing Managers Index, comes in a little stronger than expected in September. I think our economy overall is still doing pretty well, but the market did get pretty overheated there from a valuation point of view. And there's always, you know, that's one of the risk factors you have to take into account when you measure the risk of your portfolio. How much valuation risk do you have in your portfolio? That's something that I have to be very keen on here on a daily basis. Existing home sales in August reached the highest level since 2006. Now, that's a very thought-provoking statistic. Existing home sales. What's going on? Well, we know there's an exodus taking place. You know, not out of Egypt, but an exodus out of high tax states. And there seems to be an exodus out of some of these inner cities that don't look so good on TV with things going on in the background. Existing home sales in August reached the highest level since 2006. That means people are selling their homes that they live in, and they're moving elsewhere. Thought-provoking question. What are the reasons for that? Well, I would say that lower mortgage rates are helping. People may be moving to new homes with the low interest rates. But there's definitely a migration going on here in America right now, as indicated by this largest number of existing home sales the last 14 years. Tesla Battery Day. Well, what came from it? Elon says he's going to have a $25,000 electric vehicle out at some point in time. I think right now maybe the lowest priced Teslas are out in the low 30s. So continuing to get those Teslas down to the common man and woman, I guess. They have a whole range of Teslas from the low end up to the high end. And, of course, the truck will be coming soon. But the reaction to Tesla, not good here today. Batteries will be used as structural parts of Tesla cars to feather out the load and create a stiffer structure, which Musk says will be the standard for all electronic vehicles in the future. Nickel gets a shout out as the upside of the metal for battery production is explained, especially for the Cybertruck and Semi models. Well, that's got all my listeners scrambling to see who the nickel stocks are. There's a few, you know, there's a few nickel providers. Looks like nickel's going to play a big part, in addition to lithium, in the future of battery production. Tesla will continue to buy from battery cell suppliers, but is planning on doing a lot of their own stuff by 2030 by supplying themselves, and that's hurting the stocks like Panasonic and LG this morning. Elon says Tesla will be head and shoulders over everyone else in manufacturing, even as the rest of the industry pours out long-range electric vehicles. Well, Tesla, Wall Street reacts, and obviously not too excited about the big Battery Day event yesterday. Well, here's another very disturbing, thought-provoking piece of news when we come back. Coming from a tech stock called MicroStrategy. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. I would say, just summing up the battery day yesterday, reading how the analysts sized it up, I think there were some real lofty goals set by Elon Musk. Of course, Elon Musk is not known for hyperbole at all or overstating things. But that seems to be kind of the general opinion. Dan Ives says, Tesla gave some aggressive targets and goals, which were impressive, and set the goalposts for the next few years on the battery and cost structure front. Bank of America called the battery event constructive, even if the goals are lofty. So that may be one of the issues there that... It all sounds good. The goals sound good, but whether they can be met or not, whether they're within reach or not, that's another question. In the meantime, Panasonic, LG Chemical, selling off today as Tesla strives to become more and more self-sufficient as it comes to batteries. Here's a disturbing story. I don't know. You figure. Here's a thought-provoking story coming from a big tech company called MicroStrategy, MSTR, which has been around for quite some time. It's a $1.5 billion company. They provide enterprise-ready analytics, mobility, and security software platforms for various industries. Pretty major player in the tech industry. They're actually out of Virginia. Okay, their CEO is loading up. They have a cash hoard. MicroStrategy has a cash hoard of $500 million. What's he doing with this cash? Well, here's what he says. Here's what CEO Michael Saylor says, S-A-Y-L-O-R. We really feel we are on $500 million of a melting ice cube. He's talking about cash. Once the real yield on our treasury got to more than negative 10%, we realized that everything we are doing on a profit and loss is irrelevant. In other words, he's worried about the decay in value of their big cash position. So where's he putting the cash? Over the past few weeks, he has famously... this has got a lot of attention, has moved the bulk of his company's $500 million in short-term government paper. Where do you think he's put it? Into wheat? Into gold? Into silver? Sports collectibles? Bitcoin? He told Bloomberg yesterday, we feel pretty confident that Bitcoin is less risky than holding cash. Less risky than holding gold. He says, noting gold continues to be mined while there's a finite amount of Bitcoin that might ever be used. Saylor owns 73% of the voting stock of MicroStrategy. He's not necessarily a hardcore hodler. I got to look that word up, hodler. That must be a Bitcoin aficionado. Saylor says he'd have little use selling his Bitcoin and rebuying government paper should yields move sharply higher. So anyways, I mean, that comes from a pretty well-known CEO, pretty well-known company, taking all of his cash, worried about it, calling it a melting ice cube. Does he know something? I don't know. And putting it into Bitcoin. Is Bitcoin the currency of the future? Well, it's definitely thought-provoking, isn't it? And I'll give it more thought. Ant Group attracts more Chinese firms, submits Shanghai registration. This is going to be a massive IPO. It's going to be spun off from Alibaba, which owns a big chunk of Ant Group. Five Chinese investment firms are subscribing to the Shanghai IPO through new mutual funds. Well, it sounds like China's going to have some mutual funds now. Alibaba holds a 33% stake in Ant Group. Retired chairman Jack Ma has majority control of the fintech. And remember, Jack Ma, a member of the Chinese Communist Party. In other words, the Chinese Communist Party has a lot of this stock, Alibaba and Ant Group. So we'll be watching for that. They're hoping for a $250 billion valuation. That would be a massive IPO. Okay, you know, I like to see hot little things going wild. We've got several IPOs on tap today. One that's a monster. In the meantime, you got a little stock called SPI Energy. SPI. I just added it to my app. It was not in the app. But when I see something that's not there, I add it. The reason it wasn't in the app before today, it was about a $10 million company. That's pretty small. It's a Chinese manufacturer of photovoltaic panels. That's the solar for residential, government, and utility customers. Very tiny little company, publicly traded. Why is it up 351% today? That's a quadruple. More than a quadruple. A home run, I guess you could say. Because they launched a wholly owned subsidiary, Edison Future, for designing and developing electric vehicles and EV charging solutions. Based in Silicon Valley, California. Boy, is Silicon Valley really kind of a hub? A very powerful part of our country? Edison Future complements the company's current suite of PV solutions, that's photovoltaic, including battery and storage technologies, but now they will start partnering to manufacture electric vehicles. So welcome a new company into the electric vehicle, and it's out of California. This is one that goes on my watch list for sure. I have Bill's secret list. It's not so secret. I share most of these stocks with you. But these are stocks I revisit every day to check up to see how they're doing. But a electric vehicle company, which is a Chinese stock, into solar energy already, and now teaming up with a California company based in Silicon Valley called Edison Future. Somebody Google that. Check on them. This stock is up 354%. It's without question the stock of the day. It's already traded. 108 million shares have changed hands so far, burning up the Robinhood app, I would imagine. Well, a couple of thought-provoking stories there. When we come back, there's more. One of the biggest IPOs of the year, along with a couple others, including a new telehealth stock. This is Bill Gunderson. We're out there on the cutting edge. I get up early in the morning to find this stuff for you and keep you in front of everybody else. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, surprisingly, the Dow is holding on to a gain. Not by much. 5 points. Oh, there it goes. Gunderson was right again. Dow's down 10 points right now. Just went negative. It was headed in that direction right from the get-go. And right now you've got the NASDAQ down about 77 or so. It's holding down 82 now. On the NASDAQ after a pretty good day in the market. We're definitely in defensive mode here in the markets after that historic rally in the NASDAQ, which ended when the NASDAQ went through 12,000. You know, a lot of times when an index goes through a major number like that, or a stock, that spells the top. And I said that was the top of the NASDAQ for now. When will we see 12,000 again? That's anybody's guess. Now the Dow's down 50. Look at that, going south in a hurry. Okay, more interesting stories here today. Well, update on COVID-19. Johnson & Johnson initiates a large-scale study now. They're getting really serious here as they close in. This is September the 23rd. We've been told by Pfizer that they may have something ready to submit by late October. That's getting close. That's 4 weeks away now. And we know that AstraZeneca's study and trial is going full speed ahead. And it looks like right on their heels is Johnson & Johnson. We haven't heard from the other one, Moderna, recently. We're hearing from a smaller player here today, Medicinova, M-N-O-V. They say that they have an intranasal vaccine. You would inhale it through your nose, but they're still back in the mouse study stage, so they're way behind in the race for the vaccine. But MNOV today, how do they make little inhalers small enough to get up mice noses? I don't know. Medinova's up 10.7% today. Okay, major IPO alert. We've had some big ones. Snowflake was a big one recently. Palantir. This is a major company going public, very controversial company. You can do a little research on what Palantir Technologies does, PLTR. They're going to go public. You know, they have about $1 billion a year in revenue, $1.06 billion. That's the guidance that they are giving. Here's the description on MarketSmith. They develop software for institutions to protect individual privacy and prevent the misuse of information. But from what I can tell, this is a very shadowy kind of a company. It's hard for me to figure out what they really do, but it's definitely involved in trying to keep your information private. The company does $1 billion a year in sales. They are going to price probably tomorrow. And that will be a very interesting one to watch. The symbol is PLTR. That goes on Bill's watch list. Another one going public. This one is going public, I think, today. Laird Superfoods. This is another plant-based offering.
I've seen Laird advertise a lot on, especially digitally on the computer. They manufacture, market coffee creamer, supplements, instant coffees, teas, hot chocolate products, but it's all plant-based. Plant-based beverage manufacturer, Laird Superfoods, LSF. We're going to put that one on our watch list. There was another one that I brought to your attention recently that came out as a one of these SPACs. Was that SBE? I think it's it. No, there was another one. I can't think of the symbol right now, but it's another big major player in the plant food business. Laird Superfoods, major competitors are Nestle, Danone, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Beyond Meat. So this is another one that we'll keep our eye on, Laird Superfoods. But wait, we're not done yet. How about a telehealth company? One of the hottest sectors in the market, with Teladoc being the leader there. You have the recent IPO of Amwell, which is Google-backed. Amwell, by the way, is up 20% today. 20%. That's one I came public at 18. It's having a huge move here today. It's one that I featured several weeks ago on the day it went public. Maybe it was last week. I can't remember. Time goes so quickly these days. But here's another one to keep your eye on. GoodRx. I see them advertising a lot. You get cheaper prescription, but they are a telehealth company. Let's take a look at their description here of what all they do. They're based out of California. They provide software platform that helps find the discounted prices for prescription medicines. That's the description of what they do. California-based telehealth company, GoodRx, symbol GDRX. It's going to open hot. Private equity investor Silver Lake, very well-known private equity company out of California, owned about 35% of GoodRx before the offering. They're going to clean up when this thing goes public. I haven't heard of Warren Buffett owning any or any of the other big guys out there. But keep your eye on GoodRx going public today. GDRX in the telehealth business. We had one a couple weeks ago, Amwell. I just checked in on Amwell. Amwell's up 20% today on a down day in the NASDAQ. Corsair Gaming prices an IPO. You know, they're rushing to the cash register before it closes, the ATM machine before it runs out of money. Corsair Gaming, this is an esports hardware and software company. I think that's involved in video games, the equipment that you use to play said games. Corsair is priced at $16 per share. They compete with Logitech and Razer. CRSR. Shopify catches two rogue employees stealing data from fewer than 200 merchants in a breach that might have exposed customer emails. Well, where's Palantir when we need them protecting us? Shopify terminated the employees working with the FBI and international agencies investigating the breach. Speaking of Shopify, you know, it got up into rarefied air as far as valuation goes. Too rarefied for me. And I sold my Shopify for a huge, huge profit in one of my, in the ultra growth portfolios. I had bought it in the large cap portfolios, but it just got too nosebleed expensive for me. The stock got up to 1146. I had a line in the sand in the stock. It crossed below that line in the sand. I no longer own Shopify, even though I'm a long-term bull on the stock. I just think right now, if you're going to de-risk a little bit, before a contentious election and other things going on in the world right now, these are the kind of stocks you've got to be very, very careful with. Shopify has a P.E. ratio of 691 and a forward P.E. of 475. Speaking of overvalued, yesterday one of the hottest stocks in the market is the number one ranked stock. What do you think is the number one ranked stock in my app? Well, it was Carvana, a used car e-commerce platform, which has gone all the way up to $38 billion in market capitalization. For whatever reason, this is a hot stock. Carvana got down to $22 back in March. $22. And it hit $225 yesterday, a 10-bagger in 6 months. I would say if you're looking to de-risk a portfolio, this would be another one I'd be very careful with. Carvana was the stock of the day yesterday. It had some kind of an upgrade from Goldman Sachs, and today B. Riley is downgrading it based on valuation. High valuation, extreme valuation. It's a used car stock, for heaven's sakes. Well, when we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. I got three candidates. I will decide during the break. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, one of the things that we pride ourselves here at our firm is trying to stay ahead of the crowd. The crowd is pretty slow. You know, while the big wirehouse firms are writing and talking about IBM raising their dividend, you know, we're trying to find companies out there on the cutting edge. Best stocks now, best prospects now. We get them at the IPO, we're on them, looking at them, analyzing them. Well, we've had some pretty big successes over the years. And I'm going to run another victory lap. Pardon me for running a victory lap here. But back on May 4th of this year, 2020, market wasn't so good. It was coming out of COVID. But there was a new group of stocks emerging that were actually benefiting from COVID. And we started out in our double A, just like a baseball team, double A prospects, hot prospects, our best prospects. We started out with a 4% overall position in our emerging growth portfolio in a company named Fiverr. Symbol FV. RR. Well, I'm going to run around the track here. The fans reach up. Maybe they'll give me five. My live trading subscribers that bought the stock. I bought the stock for my portfolios here. Since that time, May 4th of this year, this is now September, so about 6 months, the stock is now up 237.6%. Now, another thing I use my emerging growth portfolio for is if they turn out to be really, really, really good ones, they may show up in my ultra growth portfolio, which is AAA. My manager up at AAA, me, may say, you know what, you're doing so good in AA, we're going to try you out in AAA, kid. So I bought it 10 days later in my AAA portfolio, my ultra growth portfolio, which is up over 42% so far this year. Meanwhile, the S&P is flat, you know. This ultra growth buy and hold portfolio over the last 2 years since I started it, it is up 91%. It's tripled the returns of the S&P 500, which is now up 29.4%. Over the last almost 2 years. Since I bought Fiverr in the ultra growth portfolio, that makes it a pretty big position when you own it in the emerging growth and both of your ultra growth portfolios. Fiverr's up 133% in the ultra growth portfolio. What does Fiverr do, for heaven's sakes? Well, it's a company out of Israel. If you've heard of the company or use their services, Upwork, it's very similar to Upwork. You can list your services on Fiverr. Maybe you build websites. Maybe you work on apps. Maybe you build digital commerce platforms. It's a digital, or it's an Israel-based company enabling people to buy and sell digital services. Okay, they're not selling protein powder or frozen steaks or anything like this on their e-commerce platform. They're selling services. People that do digital work that you can't do yourself. On an e-commerce platform, it's now a $4.7 billion company. I actually used Fiverr for a little task I had on one of my websites, and I was pleased with how it went. This stock is hitting a new all-time high today. I don't know what the news is. I found it with my app. I first read the story when they went public. I said, this is another Upwork, which hasn't done as well as Fiverr. But I liked the story, and I kept my eye on it. And all of a sudden, it started showing up in the momentum screens of my app. That's where we try to catch stocks very early on. It didn't even have a ranking yet or a grade, but it was showing up in the momentum screens. And now Fiverr is up another 7% today. It's hitting an all-time high. It's a small cap. And let's not forget, this has been a terrible environment for small cap stocks. But having said that, it's a market of stocks, even in the small caps. You can't paint all the small caps with the same little brush. Some of them are better than others, and Fiverr is one of the standouts in the small cap arena. Don't forget, I've achieved those results in that ultra growth portfolio, which is mostly small cap stocks. If you compared the results of my ultra growth versus the Russell 2000 or the S&P 600, which are probably better indexes to measure it against, I measured against the S&P 500, that's pretty astonishing performance. When you can find and cherry pick out of those very weak indexes, the Russell 2K, the S&P 600, etc., when you can find a Fiverr in that group that's a small cap, it's currently ranked number 257, 257 out of 5,362. It's one that we own in both our ultra growth and emerging growth. We'll make it our featured stock of the day, and we will pat our backs a little bit. Give me five for Fiverr. Well, that's for our most aggressive clients. Okay. Over here we got Paul. Paul manages the bond portfolio, which just continues to creep along. It's the turtle that moves forward. The emerging growth of the ultra growth are the hare, the rabbit that runs very quickly, a little more volatile, but I do my best to protect the backside also. We can mix or match. We can meet your risk tolerance. That's the job of my advisors. That's what a certified financial planner does, is he sizes up your risk tolerance, your goals, your time horizon, what percentage of money we're managing of your total portfolio, and we build for you the right asset allocation from amongst the portfolios that we manage. So anyways, you can give us a call. We also do our best to protect on the downside. I've said it many times. You can't always have your offense on the field. I'm sorry. You've got to have your defense on the field from time to time to protect the harvest. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or 855-611-BEST. Write that number down, 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.